The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because, on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said one to another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord. When you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll probably notice that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar. They're similar in the structure, the content that they cover, the timelines. When you read John, John is just kind of out there. He's getting at details that somebody else didn't tell. He makes sure that you knew them, not just those details, but he amplifies it by like 20 or 30. If you read John's Gospel of Jesus during Holy Week, there's a lot of things that he said that Matthew, Mark, and Luke just kind of summarize in part, and one of those things is his discourse to the disciples in the upper room on Maundy Thursday the night before he was betrayed. And of all that Jesus said and prayed that evening when he was with his disciples in Holy Week, one of the best lines in it that sticks out, at least to me personally, and probably you, if you've read it before, is when he says to his disciples, "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends." It's what Jesus said to his disciples, not just students, not just learners, disciples, but friends of Jesus. And I think that it's these heartfelt words that Jesus offers to the disciples on that evening that makes the betrayal of Judas Iscariot all the more sad and gut-wrenching. Judas, who handed Jesus over to the mob that would later crucify him within the next 24 hours, well, Judas was called a disciple with the rest. He was numbered among the 12, Jesus' most intimate circle. He went out with and for Jesus during the ministry. He worked with and for him. He healed people when Jesus gave them powers to do it. Yes, Judas Iscariot, before he turned, broke bad as it were, he even preached to people about this Jesus Christ. And yet, with a kiss in Gethsemane, what did Judas do? He handed Jesus over to the betrayers. That's a sad thing to have happen to anybody. Much sadder if that anybody is the Son of God. And even sadder still if it's done by somebody who's close to him. Friendship's a good thing, isn't it? It's good to have friends, people you enjoy spending time with. The better you know somebody and the more you like him or her, the richer your friendship, your time together is going to be. Jesus said in the same chapter of John, for what it's worth, "Greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Good friendship, according to Jesus, when he's offering that explanation of it, is not. It's not just feelings. Affinity that you have for somebody else that just stays in your mind and heart, and that's as far as it goes. No. Good friendship, according to Jesus on Maundy Thursday, is love. Sacrificial, self-giving love. Good friendship is built on loyalty, strong, good character, and not just passing, kind of convenient now, and when it's not convenient, we'll drop it. But no, loyalty and good character shown until the bitter end. And when it comes to friends, either good or bad, Jesus had both. Every year when we get to today in the church year, Palm Sunday, I wonder about the crowd that was greeting Jesus on his triumphal ride into Jerusalem. I wonder about them. Was the same crowd, or were there members of that same crowd who were on Sunday yelling out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest"? Were there any members of that crowd that also found their way into the crowd on Good Friday who were shouting with anger, "Crucify him, crucify him"? John tells us today that the people that did make their way out to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, they were there in part, at least because they'd heard about Lazarus, his friend, Jesus' good friend, being raised from the dead. And so naturally, they came out to welcome him as he rode into town. They welcomed him, I would say, with good intentions, with faithful, loving, longing hearts. And they welcomed this one who is riding in the style of Solomon into Jerusalem as a king, not really knowing what the future of that kingship would look like, accepting it for what it was, maybe open to something different, whichever the case, perhaps. They were open to it and excited, but the mood had changed in that town, in that city, so drastically by Good Friday. 5 short days later, we're told that the opponents of Jesus had whipped up the crowd into a frenzy so that they were shouting about Jesus on trial, "Crucify him, kill him." And many, like we said, maybe many, maybe a few, maybe one or two, but if the pattern holds, some were there in both crowds, Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Those who welcomed Jesus as a friend, when it came down to it, sided with his enemies. Now, it would not be Confirmation Sunday here at Calvary without a few things. Students, white robes, don't get a stain on them, we have to send them back. Little red flowers, that's part of it. Cameras, pictures, longer service, buckle up. And my favorite, people at Calvary sitting toward the front of the church. We're going to have Confirmation Sunday every Sunday. But it wouldn't be Confirmation Sunday also without this, an exhortation to continued faithfulness. This year is no different. Boys, don't be fair-weathered friends to Jesus. And don't be a bad friend to Jesus either. You see, unbeknownst to the crowds during those Holy Week gatherings and events, and just like unbeknownst to Caiaphas when he prophesied that it was good that one man should die for the people, he didn't really know the depths of what he was saying. Jesus' crucifixion that these crowds were supporting, from God's perspective, it was always going to happen. It was always going to be this way, that the Son of God, when he came, would die as an atoning sacrifice to pay for the sins of the world. God knew about the fall when he created the world before it happened, and he knew how he would fix the fall and its effects of sin and death before it happened. Jesus indeed did come into this world, not just to be a good teacher, an example, or something like that, but to actually and effectively to save us, which is what Hosanna means, Lord, save us now. And he would do it, in fact, by being crucified. And that crucifixion, that death which pays for the sins, it does this. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for the sins of his good friends, his faithful friends, his disciples. When he died on the cross, his death paid for the sins of the indifferent, the people that are kind of just not, in their minds at least, committed one way or the other. When Jesus died on the cross, his death paid for the sins of his enemies, the people that hated him and wanted nothing to do with him at best or wanted to see him harmed at worst. And Jesus' death on Good Friday paid for your sins and yours and mine, indeed the whole world's. Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Messiah, not a, but the, and that means he is your Savior, your personal Messiah. That's what he is. Today, for you five sitting up front, it marks your affirmation of that fact, that Jesus is Christ and he is your Christ. It confirms you in your baptismal faith, most of them done here at this font, not too long ago for us adults, but for you a lifetime ago. Today serves as a passing point from youth to young adulthood, let's call it. And it marks the opening up to you of the gift and blessing that are, as Jesus said and put them, in Holy Communion, in which he comes to you, forgives you, and again, once again, and time and again, every time it happens, demonstrates his friendship for you. And so today I have this appeal to you, five boys, and the rest of you as well. Jesus is your friend. Return the friendship. Be not, after today, a Judas who turns from him and does wicked things. Don't be part of the fickle, unbelieving crowd, the uncertain crowd that just kind of is blown whatever way the strongest voices in the room are going, but remain true to your Lord Jesus Christ, just like John, the disciple, did at the cross. Read your Bible. Come to church. Pray. Remember that you're baptized. Come, as Jesus says in his own institution, come often to the Lord's Supper. Be a true friend to Jesus all the days of your lives so that when he comes again or when you go to him, whichever comes first, he's not going to say to you, depart from me, I never knew you, but rather he says, welcome to your eternal home, my good friend. Amen.